Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, June the 12th, 164th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, speaking of new, is the new president at CR. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You think?
I am glad to be here.
Okay. Yes. Now, is it Lerner or Lerner?
It's Lehner. Like it's
okay.
An A.
So there's no R in there.
There is no R.
You're not
R.
A Lerner.
Well,
you're
some
a Lehner.
People do tell me that you have the great last name to be a college president, and I say, why? And they say, because it's Lerner. And it's like, no, there's no R. It's Lehner.
Okay, so others have beaten down that trail of stupid pun.
They have beaten that down, I also have to tell everybody here who's trying to learn how to pronounce my name that in October I will be Smith. I'm getting married in October, so don't worry about the Lehner. Smith.
Are you going to be a hyphen girl?
No, I'm not going to be a hyphen girl.
A traditional?
I'm going to be a Smith.
Oh,
yes.
Very cool. Okay. I knew I liked her. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the things that Kathy has seen, some of the things that she wants to improve on, and maybe some of the stuff that is doing pretty good. And why CR? All that kind of fun stuff. We'll get to know her when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Lehner from College of the Redwoods. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Abraham Lincoln. Always bear in mind that your own resolution to succeed is more important than any other. That's almost quasi-educational, sort of.
Absolutely.
Okay. So when somebody says, oh my, new president, huh? Who is she? What would you like people to say?
Wow. Well, I have come here from Mendocino College, where I was president for 7 years down in Ukiah. And I came here for several reasons, but most of all, the accreditation issues that CR is faced with, which I hope we get to talk about a little bit, and my experience with accreditation. And personal reasons, as I mentioned before, my name's changing to Smith, so I moved up here to join my fiancé, who's been a 15-year resident of Eureka in Humboldt County. And
so you kind of get tired of the commute? Is that kind of what it
boils
down to?
Yeah, the commute gets hard, yes. Yeah, 3-hour commute does get hard. So coming in as the new president, one of the things that I've been surprised at is to learn that at least in the past 15, 20, 25 years, the presidents of CR have not had previous experience as a president. So that's one thing that I bring, is that I have some experience as a president prior to going into this. So I'm able to use my hat from other jobs in the past to look at CR in a different way.
Was it surprising, hey, this is kind of cool? Or was it surprising, well, that's kind of disappointing, that there hadn't been, that it was seen as a stepping stone college?
You know, it was surprising as in, this is kind of cool. I like this position because it gives me the opportunity to bring what I have from my past experiences in, and I think help this place grow in a way that maybe it hasn't had the opportunity before.
I would think one of the elements that is advantageous, other than the fact that you were an owl for a while, is that you know the neighborhood. You know
yes.
The culture. You know the challenges that the
mm-hmm.
culture provides. You know the changes that we've been going through in the three counties. It's not deer in the headlights.
Absolutely. That's correct. There's so many similarities between Humboldt County and Mendocino County in many ways. But having been in Mendocino County for the last 9 years, and I've interacted with the presidents at College of the Redwoods and other people at College of the Redwoods as well, because of our Northern California community college groups and all of that, I'm aware of the challenges that they've been having. And when we speak about accreditation, I'm aware of the fact that they've gone on and off sanction and up and down all this time. And so I was very aware of that. I will say that there was one big surprise, and that was that the day that I interviewed for this position, my very first interview, was the same day that CR received their letter that said they were on show cause. So people did come to me and say, are you sure about this?
Hey, it doesn't matter how deep the mud puddle is, as long as you're in it, right?
That's right. Yeah. And I will say also that I am change excites me. And I've said that before. I'm not one to get in a rut and stay put. So if there's something that is going to invigorate my professional life, then I'm willing to change. I'm willing to do it.
So as you say change, and the fact that we've been averaging, about 4 or 5 years a president, is that roughly the timeline you're looking at? Or is this, and I know Jeff had said it, I know Sed had said it, I know, Weichert did it, and Portugal did also. Lock and this is it. This is the final stop. Are you going to say this is the final stop, or is this just we'll wait and see?
Well, I think it's up to the community and me as well. But yes, definitely have to wait and see. As far as I've gone far enough in my career that this is not a stepping stone. This will probably be my final job. But how long that lasts is dependent upon the community and the board and the college and how we work together. And I have only optimistic feelings about how it's going to move forward. But I'm looking forward to the next few years.
Obviously, accreditation is one of the first biggies.
Absolutely.
Is there a second biggie, or is the budget. Accreditation is
budget.
Really okay?
Budget's a huge biggie.
Can you do both at the same time, or can the school do both at the same
time?
We
have to. We have no option but to do both at the same time. Don't know whether you want to talk about budget issues at this point, but it wasn't mentioned in the accreditation report, but it is a huge issue that is underlying everything that we need to do in order to fix our accreditation issues. So the budget situation at the state right now is that should the tax measures not pass in November, College of the Redwoods is slated to lose another $1.3 million, almost $1.4 million. And that equates to classes, people, services, everything that we would have to cut out mid-year. Coming from out of state, it was interesting 10 years ago coming into California about how the whole community college budget works and the timing of that and not knowing before the year starts what your budget's going to be for that year and getting mid-year surprises and deficit factors and you're cut in the middle of the year after you've already set your class schedule and you've already hired your teachers.
You said you like challenges.
I do like challenges.
Welcome to California again.
Thank you, yes.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Lerner. Kathy, as you look at the overall picture, you mentioned accreditation. You mentioned budget as the two top ones. Both have got, did you like Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and Boris Badenoff, and he had the ticking bomb. I see two bombs.
There are.
And he's placed each of them, one in accreditation, one over in budget. Can you afford to prioritize one over the other? Or do they both have to get equal attention?
Well, accreditation is top priority right now. So if it is going to cost us some money out of our budget to fix accreditation, we have to spend the money to fix accreditation. Then we will deal with our long-term budget imbalance. Accreditation, the details of accreditation are that there are three levels of sanctions that the Western Association of Schools and Colleges puts on colleges. And College of the Redwoods has cycled on and off of the sanctions of probation and warning ever since late 90s, early 2000s. And the sanction that we are currently on as of February 3rd notice is show cause, which is the highest sanction you can be on.
It's the ugly one.
It is the ugly one. And it is a sanction that the next step would be to lose accreditation, and we are not going to do that. And I have assured everybody at the college, the board, the faculty, the staff, that I would never have quit a job that was secure to come here to take a job if I were not confident that we could get off of accreditation.
So in sanction. Really basic rudimentary, it's been a little while since we've talked about the accreditation or gotten an update on it. My understanding from where when we last left this topic was that there was some structural elements that were in place that needed to be addressed, but also some of the planning and the structural elements of the school. Is that still pretty accurate representation?
Yes, it's policies and procedures, and putting the policies and procedures into place and then following them on a consistent basis.
The adherence seemed to be...
The sustainability of what you put into place. Those are the structural issues. There were 8 recommendations. Some of them are fairly minor. Some of them we've already taken care of as far as turning our student records into digitized files and, you know, storing them off-site so they're safe and secure and all that. Some of those were very easy to fix, took money, but easy to fix. So we've taken care of those. Probably the largest ones, one had to do, as you mentioned, planning. And the emphasis with the budget decreases that we've had, and it should be this way all the time, is that you spend your money on your high priority areas. So you should have a strategic plan, an educational master plan, a technology plan, a facilities plan, and then as you go through the budget process, it's a matter of putting your resources where your strategic plan says
throw money at priority one around, and then priority two for everybody, and priority three. And if you get down to 35, that's great.
That's great.
But if you cut it off at 26, what we have to do.
Yes. And the alternative is, and many agencies do it this way, the alternative is if there's extra money in the budget, you just spread it out. Everybody gets a 5% increase or whatever. Or as you cut, you do across-the-board cuts, and you cut 10% from every department. That is not using your strategic plan to do your budgeting. So it is analyzing which things you want to spend the money on to help the students.
Is there, is there a history of a strategic plan that was adhered to at Redwoods?
I cannot answer that question because I've not been here long enough to know the history of the planning at CR.
I haven't found one yet.
I really haven't looked for one yet because I've been concentrating on the one that has been being prepared over the last year and a half or so. And it has now gone through the board. There is a strategic plan that has been put into place. And the educational master plan is... being written right now and is in final process and will be approved by the board in upcoming months. So there are plans that have been started here in the last couple of years that have been moving forward. That's what I've been concentrating
on. Can you use that now?
Yes.
For the accreditation, even though it hasn't been formally adopted?
Absolutely. And we have until October 15th to write the report. It will be formally adopted by then. And then also the accrediting commission will be meeting in January, and I will have the opportunity in January to meet with the commission to tell them what work we have also done between our October 15th report and the January 15th-ish meeting of the commission. So we will continue to work.
Have you served on a WASC, one of the visiting accreditors?
I have been.
I've gone through that process.
Have
St. Bernard's one. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Got stupid and said yes for the board. So.
Well,
a little bit of tertiary, but it seems so novel and new, and it was a different setting. It certainly wasn't the magnitude of a community college.
Well, it provides you serving on the team. It provides the members of the team with knowledge of what teams will look for when they come to your school. So it's very valuable. And luckily, I have this experience. As an aside, when I first came to the state 9 years ago and they called me up and asked me to serve on my first team, I said, okay, where? Hawaii. I got to go to Hawaii on my very first team.
Tough duty, huh?
It was tough duty, although I found that you work so dang hard for that week you're there that you didn't have time to do anything fun.
You mean you didn't fly in a little early or stay a little late?
One day was not enough.
Fair enough, yes.
So since that time, though, I have been team chair, team leader of 3 other teams, and one of those was Solano, and Solano College was on show cause. So that was my most recent.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a lampist to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Lerner. She is the newbie at CR, the head honcho. Do you have a captain's hat? You know, like a pirate hat with the captain and, you know, the big foofy hanging on the wall?
I do have a story about dressing as a Three Musketeer one time as a president.
Well, I mean, as a corsair.
Yeah, there we go.
I figure that'd be better than the saber on your hip that you have here this afternoon.
Right.
Budget, we can slash it. As somebody who has the experiences looking at Redwood, seeing what the accreditation challenges are, trying to get everybody on the same page, and then remaining to their or consistent with their commitments. As you look at the school itself, the physicalness of it, the scheduling, the academic side, is there any fine-tuning that's necessary with that? Is the product a good product?
The product is an excellent product. I've been very impressed with the staff and the faculty and their commitment to the students. We're all there for the same reason, and that's to help our students succeed. The classes that are taught are you know, same as across the country and other community colleges. The skills of the faculty they excel per the student evaluations about what they're doing. I mean, everything is wonderful.
So the classroom part is dialed in?
The education, the academic piece of it is on target. It's a great, great school, great opportunity.
Now, there are some physical stuff that are going on, the new building that's going on, I guess. Now, will your office be moving into there?
My office will be. We have two things going on right now on the main campus in Eureka. First off, the Student Services Administration building is nearing completion. In fact, took the fence down a couple of days ago, the construction fence around it. We will be taking time over the next 3 and 4 weeks to move offices into that, and my office will move about the end of the month of June, and we'll be moving into the new building. What's exciting about that particular new building is that it'll be more of a one-stop shop for the students, so they can come in and they can apply and register and pay their bills and see a counselor and do everything in one building. We're not sending them all around campus. The other piece of that building is the new theater that's built there, so I'm looking forward to having some events in that theater.
Does the Forum Theater then go bye-bye?
It does. The Forum Theater, the Forum Building will not be occupied by students, and we are still working on what we are going to be doing with those facilities. They have some seismic issues, and per whatever the Field Act is in the state of California, we can't let students into the buildings with those issues in them. Now, the other thing that's exciting in the middle of
campus. Teachers are okay.
Teachers are okay. Yes, earthquakes don't hurt teachers, I guess, or administrators. But and anybody who voluntarily wants to come into the building is allowed. We just cannot require our students to go into those buildings. So we can't hold classes there.
So that's why the theater was able to be there, because it was not a mandatory.
Well, we've had some time to get out of it, but once we're out, then we can't go back into it with our student requirements.
You're going to keep the structure in place, or are you going to salvage the redwood and blade it down and start
over? We are planning at this point to keep it in place, and it being so new, I'm not exactly sure all the discussions that have taken place, but we're actually looking at some of it being rented out to other folks for facilities that they can use, office space, perhaps some lab space to HSU we're talking about with them. I mean, there's a lot of alternatives that we're looking at. So we're looking at things like that. Right in the middle of campus, we've got two new academic buildings that are being constructed, and those will be done next summer and hopefully occupy in the fall of 2013.
Don't use that word around here.
Occupy? Okay, yeah, I won't use that word. Okay.
It's frowned upon.
Well, we hope to have, might be good. We will hope to have classes in those buildings in a year from now. But right now we are during construction. And the buildings that will be vacated when those new buildings open up also are subject to Field Act requirements. So we cannot have our science classes and our labs in the old buildings anymore. So it's a beautiful site. And the construction that's going on is going to really, you know, be exciting for the students because they've got new facilities and new equipment and new furniture, and you know that will be wonderful, new technology, but we are going to have some buildings sitting there that we cannot require our students to go in, so we have to have a plan for what we're going to do with those.
Good idea. Placement was kind of weak with all the faults that are there, fault lines. Does that really restrict some of the potential uses of some of these structures? And they made it what, mid-60s, so what's that, 40-plus years. It always just kind of seems sad that some of these things that were designed and have survived have to be knocked down because standards change. Not that they no longer work.
Correct.
But standards change.
That's correct. And again, I don't have all the history. I will say that I believe that the land that the college sits on was donated to the college in the 60s, I believe. And, of course, the Field Act did not have the same restrictions, and so the buildings were constructed. We have done an enormous amount of trenching on site to find out what our seismic issues are. We have not done the entire campus, so there's maybe more problems to find in the future. We do know that the new construction, the new buildings that we are opening this year and next year, are on sites that have been labeled safe per the standards. Of course, who knows what the standards might be 10 years from now, but according to the current standards, these buildings are safe. It is a huge economical investment to make into that campus and then to not be able to occupy buildings. It's
a little rough, yeah. Yeah. But like you said, it's better suited for everybody. The flow will be better.
Right. And okay. I think one of the things that came about when the bond measure, Measure Q, was worked on, and I believe that was 03, 04. I'm not exactly sure of the timing there. But at that time, the plan was to renovate these buildings and to put money into them. And so then when they developed their plans for renovation and submitted them to the state, to the Department of State Architect, and found out that we have seismic issues, that kind of changed the whole plan for Measure Q. What are we going to do with this money? How are we going to, you know, spend
Whoops,
it?
Whoops is kind of what I remember.
Whoops is right. But it also did result in the state of California saying, we recognize there is an issue. We don't expect you to solve it all locally, so we will give you some money to help fix it. And that's to the tune of almost $50 million.
And astutely, the money was got before we went into this last cycle.
Yes.
So the money
yes.
is there. It's not an IOU. It's not a promissory note. It's not budget. See,
yes.
Now we're going to kind of tee it up to talk budget. Wasn't that smooth? KINS, News and Information Time. It's 441. Go ahead. You can just make any comments anytime you want. It's okay. We'll be back with more from Kathy Lerner.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Lehner. Kathy, we've kind of danced around the budget, not purposefully necessarily, but there was a lot of other stuff. As you look at the budget, you got Plan B, which is minus 1.3, that you alluded to early on, and you've got the budget, which opulent I don't think would be a term that would be used to associate with that. Focuses on the primary budget with a bunch of asterisks on it to trigger if November doesn't go the way that the governor wants it to. Is that how you almost have to go about the budget?
Well, we have prepared worst case and best case scenarios. So we are prepared for what happens with the budget, except there's one other piece of it that's come out more recently that we're not prepared with, and that is the whole issue with the RDA, the redevelopment agencies. And I don't even I can't even begin to explain the complexities of that because I don't understand them all. But that's another $1.5 million or so that would affect us. But there's legislation going through right now that we really hope there's going to be some relief on that. We can't even fathom that cut coming.
Some of the cities.
Yeah. So we don't know what's going to happen with the RDA. But as far as the mid-year budget cut, what has happened though overall, and it really started in the 08-09 year when the state of California budget started declining so badly, and a lot of schools really didn't work with the issues then as well as they could have because they've watched the cycles over the years and thought that this was just a dip that we were going to come out of. It has turned out to be more than just a dip that we're readily going to come out of. And so we're faced with trying to figure out a way to operate the college on a continual, sustainable basis with less money. So how do we do that? I mean, that's going to take a lot of as they say, developing a new normal. What does our normal look like? What's our relationship of management versus faculty versus staff?
Are there state requirements? I mean, student-teacher ratios, to me, I see as one of the biggest fallacies. The guy I use is Peter Drucker. If I could be one of 10,000 in an auditorium with Peter Drucker talking about business, I'm going to get a better education about that business topic than I would with a 2-to-1 student-teacher ratio with somebody who had never cut a check. I see the quality is the issue, not student-teacher ratios. Are you restricted with some of those types of things due to contractual or state things that say we can only do so much, we can't do what may need to be done?
That's a good question. And the contractual issues I'm not totally aware of with CR, not legal issues as much on student or classroom capacity or whatever, but there may be some contractual issues I'm not aware of. I hear what you're saying about put Peter Drucker in a room with 10,000 students and you're still going to get a good education. That is on a delivery method of lecture or communication, sometimes just one way. I think we're finding that the younger students coming through the system now, since you and I graduated from college, that they are more hands-on and they need more participatory activities rather than just listening to lectures.
They've been trained that way, or that's just a more comfortable learning style for some?
I'm going to say both. It's comfortable learning style, and I'm not a psychologist here, but times over, things have changed over time in that attention spans. Our young children don't read books as often as they might watch something on TV or the internet or whatever. There's a lot, I'm sure, inherent in that. But teaching styles or teaching techniques have had to change over the years to accommodate the learning styles of our new student. So it's harder to have 10,000 in a room with Peter Drucker and get the message across as it would have been in the 70s, 80s. So back to your question about a budget a little bit is there are laws that we have to follow, and one of them is inhibiting us tremendously, and that's our 50% law. And I'd be glad to tell you about it if you're interested.
Can you do it in 20 seconds?
20 seconds.
Didn't think so. Okay.
No, I can't.
Well, perhaps that's where we can start off next month then.
Oh.
Is to talk about some of these different challenges that are out there, because we hear it from Gary Eagles when he comes in from the K-12 the sector, but I'm sure it's a significant difference as we're looking at, as we euphemistically say, higher education.
Yes, yes.
Thanks for coming by, Kathy. Appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity. Look forward to talking to you
again. See you in July. One month closer to Smith.
Yes, thank you.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love, and I'll see you tomorrow.